Good morning, church. When I say Christ, you say Jesus. Christ.
Jesus.
Christ.
Jesus.
Who is the Savior of the world? Who loves you more than life itself? Who died on the cross for you? Who thought about you when he could have called legions of angels to take him from the cross? Who loves you so much he knows the very number of hairs on your head? Jesus. Amen. Church, it's an honor to be here with you today. Prayer go out to Pastor Ian and all the men out in Lake Tahoe. Pastor Ian couldn't be here today because he's out there serving the men out there. So please keep them in your prayer. He asked me to give a word to you today. And I'm confident that the word that God has given me today is really going to bless you guys. Amen. So today I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And it's really amazing, this passage, because it really talks about our identity. And so the title of today's message is, who are you? We wrestle with this question over and over again. Who are you? So we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I remember when I joined this church almost, 4 years ago now? The reason why I joined is because it was so loving and caring. Amen? And so a tradition that we have at the church, at least once a month, is we try and set aside at least 2 minutes to just, for our new members and our AWC family, just to go and hug somebody you don't know. So you got 2 minutes to go and get your five hugs, because they say five hugs make you feel loved. So go ahead and give some hugs. Amen, amen. Hey, Karen. Thank you so much for coming.
Love you. Mm-hmm.
All right, y'all, we got about 15 seconds left, 15 seconds to make it back to our seat. 15 seconds. God is good all the time and all the time. God is good. And all the time, amen, amen. So something that we like to do, or something that, something that we like to do here is we're going to bring up Austin, and Austin is going to pray for our message. So can we give it up for Austin, please? I always put Austin on the spot. I never let him know. It's always last minute. So.
You know what's crazy is I had a feeling you were going to do this too.
he's going to pray for the word.
Lord, today, I pray that everyone that came into this building, Lord, you could put the Holy Spirit in them, Lord.
Yes,
that each Lord. Person today can get filled with some sort of wisdom today, Lord. That everyone here knows, and not just knows, but feels that Jesus died on the cross for us, Lord. That our sins are taken away, Lord. And that because of that, we are cleansed. And because of that, God loves us so much. God looks at us and we are perfect in his image, Lord. So, Lord, I pray that today all of us in this church can feel that, Lord. Yes, in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Now you see why I call him up and put him on the spot. Right? Well, church, I want to say this, and I'm sure you probably already know this, but we are living in a dark world. We are living in extremely dark times, right? That's why Jesus, he calls himself the light of the world, because we're living in a dark place. Amen. So in 2019, actually, I'm gonna talk about Kirk real quick. So Colin Kirk, I believe that's his name. He was a political influencer. He lost his Charlie Kirk, right? Yeah, Charlie Kirk. He unfortunately he lost his life on television. Like literally, his family, his kids, and his wife was in the stands, and somebody shot him. Like just think about that. Like somebody is trying to share the gospel. Yes, there are some different views and beliefs, right? But literally, there is a person that's trying to share some good news, and he literally loses his life. That's the world that we're living in today. We're living in dark times, right? We got more school shootings that existed now than ever before. We got suicide rates at an all-time high. We got depression. We got mental illnesses at an all-time high. We're living in extremely dark times. So in 2019, there was a challenge that went around. The challenge was called the Momo Challenge, right? And the Momo Challenge, basically what happened was it was a challenge that went on YouTube Kids. Does anybody got kids in here? Okay, anybody got kids? Anybody got kids like under 10? Kids under 10? Okay. Well, I have a 3-year-old daughter. Her name is Germany. She's my light, man. And so sometimes I let her watch YouTube Kids. I let her watch Bible stories. I let her watch a little bit of Dora, many different shows, right? So what happened in 2019 is this challenge went around, and basically there was this character named Momo. He's like an anime character, like half pigeon, half something else. And he went around, or on a mask, this adult put on a mask, and he was showing kids ages 1 to 12, whatever YouTube Kids is, how to slit their wrists and end their lives. Like, literally how to do it. Like, look, you got to make sure if you get a knife, you cut this part, and then you'll bleed out, right? Another challenge that he did, and actually 3 people, it was more than 3, but I read about 3. 3 young people, 11, 12, I think it was 2 11-year-olds and 1 12-year-old, they lost their lives because Momo had a challenge to where the kids would have to choke themselves until they passed out. Yes, and YouTube got a lot of slack for it, right? So kids lost their lives because somebody who was demon-possessed decided to put on a mask and target and attack our kids. Now, the book of Ephesians says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and spirits of darkness. So we're not looking at the man or the woman who did this. We're looking at the spirit, the evil spirit. Does that make sense? Okay, so with that being said, obviously I heard about that. I've seen these crazy challenges, and my daughter watches YouTube Kids. So something that I try to do now, me and Michaela, what we do now is we make sure every day before she goes to daycare, she does her affirmations. For those of you that don't know what affirmations is basically I am statements. So Germany says, I am smart. I am beautiful. I am kind. I am loved. And then she finishes by saying, I am Germany. So that way, if somebody at daycare tells her, you're not beautiful because of the color of your skin, she's going to say, I am beautiful. If somebody tells her, mommy and daddy don't love you, she's going to say, I am loved. Amen. If somebody tells her she's mean just because she pushes a kid on accident and they fall over, she's going to say, no, I am kind. That one mistake doesn't define me. Amen. So growing up, my mom, she has affirmations on her wall. This is my beautiful mom right here. Can we give her a round of applause for Mama Bear? So my mom, she had a lot of I am statements, right? Especially like Christian scriptures. And so where did I get the I am statements from? I would say it's because my mom, who was a fearless leader of the Lord, right? She instilled these I am statements. Even if we didn't say them verbally, they were all throughout the house. We in the bathroom, it says, I am loved. Okay. Right? Even when I'm feeling down, even when society punches me in the face, I can go to the house, go to the bathroom, and look and say, dang, I am loved. And she was strategic. She probably didn't even realize she was doing, but God was using her. Amen? So where did the I am statements come from? They came from the word of God. Amen? So Jesus actually affirms himself. This is who we get it from. Jesus says things like, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. Why would Jesus have to say, I am the way? Well, it's because many different prophets during the first century, they would try and convince people that they were the way, right? Why would he say, I am the light? Because there was so much darkness going around by the very people, the religious leaders, the coaches, the pastors, the bishops, by the very people who's supposed to be leading the people down the right way are doing it completely backwards. Amen? So this is why Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Amen? Okay. So before we dive into our word, I got some points for our note takers. Please leave some space because there's going to be a lot of content today. So if you're taking notes, I got 3 points for you. The first point is that you are the salt. We're going to see Jesus talk about this and why it's important. The second point is he's going to say, I am the light, or you are the light. I'm sorry. He's transitioning from I to you. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And then the third point is that there's a difference between good works versus good deeds. Good works versus good deeds. And I'm going to take this Bible, and we are going to read the scripture together. I mean, I have it up here, but I want to actually start a little bit before Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. I want to start at verse 1. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. When you get there, I need you to say amen or word when you get there. All right, that's one. Two amens. All right, okay, okay. Got a couple people there. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, so this is how the passage starts. This is the context, right? We have to understand what happened before. So the context is Jesus saw the crowds. He went up on a mountainside and he sat down. I'm going to act this out. He actually sat down. All right, Jesus sat down and his disciples came with him and he began to teach them. And so this passage is known as the Beatitudes. It's one of the most known sermons in the Bible. Amen? So this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And then blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. And then blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then blessed are you when people insult you, they persecute you, they falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So that's the context of where we are right now. Jesus sat down on a mountain and he basically transformed or turned upside down the cultural understandings of the time. For Jesus to start off and say, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the earth. What he's saying is that those people who are poor in spirit, they actually have a first place in the kingdom of heaven. Because in the first century, what happened was if you were seen as poor, it was because of a sin that you created or a generational sin that your family created. So when we look at the homelessness in Oakland and in San Francisco, we might look at them and say, well, clearly you're a sinner. But Jesus is saying, no, that's the complete opposite. Actually, they're going to have more access to the kingdom of heaven than me and you. He's flipping everything upside down. He's saying, blessed are those who are meek. I didn't learn what the word meekness meant until about 2 years ago. The word meekness is controlled strength. So that means that we can control our actions. Germany gets out of line, rather than me giving her a whooping. I don't know about y'all, but you know, I give whoopings in my house, right? So, okay, all right, we got a couple people in the back. So we give whoopings in my house. So rather than me acting immediately out of anger, I'm gonna give her some grace and I'm gonna teach her and I'm gonna show her. So Jesus is transforming this upside down. But my favorite part about this is verse 1, which is he sat down on the mountainside and he had a conversation with his disciples. So the very thing that's wrong with society, he's going to say, that's why I'm sending you. The world is dark. No worries. I'm going to send my children because they're the light. The world is dark. No worry. I'm going to send my children to preserve a decaying society because they are the salt. which we're going to talk about a little bit more. I'm telling you, he gave me some word for y'all today. All right, here we go. Part one. So verse one where we at? Here we go. All right. You are the salt is my first point. Salt. I wish I was going to actually buy some salt because, you know, I like visual stuff. So you are the salt. What does this mean? What does it mean that you are the salt? Why would Jesus say this? So you are the salt basically meant, and you guys should notice, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but in my house, we like seasoning. We like Lawry's. We like Slap Your Mama. We like Old Bay. Right? We like seasoning in my house. I can't speak for everybody else. But in my house, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, Isaiah, but we go use salt on our food. Amen? All right. So salt. Salt was good back then and today because it's seasoning. It adds flavor to things. Amen? It makes it taste better. Okay. The second purpose of salt was to heal wounds. That was another reason why salt was used back then. Something that I didn't know until studying this is that salt was used for payment. So Austin right here, my nephew Austin, who I love and adore, he's one of our trainers for Chosen, right? He gets kids better. He trains them and he prays with them after. So if I said, Austin, you know what? You did a great job. Here's your payment in salt. He goes, look at me like I'm crazy. He goes, are you trying to pay me in salt? I need some green. I need some dinero. Right? I need some dollars. What you mean, coach? You trying to pay me in salt? But in the first century, this was a norm. It was normal to get paid in salt. That's how valuable salt was during the first century. Roman soldiers would get paid their wages in salt from the Roman governor. Crazy stuff. Jesus talks about coins, but then here he uses salt. And the understanding is that salt was so valuable, it was also used as currency in addition to the coins. Crazy stuff, right? That's not even the best part, though. The best part is that salt was, it had one main purpose. The main purpose of salt in the first century was to stop meat from rotting. To stop meat from decaying. We live in a society today, we have refrigerators. And my mama's house, which she just gave us, she has a deep freezer. We go to Costco and we put all the meat in a deep freezer, right? We never have to worry about anything. COVID, it don't matter. We got tons of meat, right? It don't matter. Another COVID, we good. Tissue and meat, we good. All right, my bad. All right, so meat would rot because it didn't have salt. How does that relate to us today? Well, meat would rot, or it would decay is the word that we're going to use. It would decay because salt wasn't, or they didn't put salt on the meat. Okay, so how does that relate to us? Salt. You are the salt of the earth is what Jesus said. He didn't just say, I am the salt. He said, you are the salt. So he now gives us that identity as being salt carriers. Amen. I dare you to tap somebody and say, you're a salt carrier. I like it. You're a salt carrier, right? You are the salt is what the Bible says, right? So what that means is that while everybody's trying to push abortion to be a thing, that means us as Christians got to say, no, keep the baby. That might be the next president or the next prophet, right? Society is saying, you know what? Marriages are failing. Marriages are decaying. You know what? I know you're going through it with your husband or your wife, but please stay married. Amen. Society is decaying, right? Schools, there's Jesus is not in school anymore. There's no more God in schools anymore. But it's still having the standard and saying, you know what? I'm going to pray for these students even before they get here because I'm going to stop it from decaying. Amen? Is anybody with me this morning? There's so much decay in our society right now. And this is the crazy thing that I learned is that complete darkness would take over the entire earth if you and I were not here to preserve it. There is no family dinners anymore. People are cooking meals or microwaving or deep frying their meals and then they're going to their rooms. But I dare you to conserve the family and actually have family dinners. I dare you to be a peacemaker in your family. There's a problem in your family. I dare you to say, come to my house. We're going to figure it out instead of not calling them or not texting them. We're called to be the salt. And the salt, it stops society from decaying. Amen, brothers and sisters? You are the salt of the earth. You are meant to change things. You are meant to season things and make it better. When you walk into a room, the room or the atmosphere should change because you are. Amen. Y'all with me this morning? Let's go. Let's go. All right. Okay, this is a sad story, but it's okay. We got to go from high to low. So somebody that I know, actually, they got a full ride scholarship to compete at a university on a national level. I won't say what sport, but if you Google it, it will pop up. So this person was teammates with somebody who they suspected to be pregnant. They suspected this young lady to be pregnant. She had a full ride scholarship. She denied it. She comes back about 3 weeks ago when all the students are now back on campus, right? She comes back and she's showing, right? A few days after that, she wasn't showing anymore. So what happened was she ended up aborting her own baby, doing it by herself. It took a dog to go into the room and go straight to the trash can where they found the aborted baby. This is a true story. You can Google it. Now, the crazy thing about this story is that because this young lady, her dad was like a very high-powered individual. He had a lot of money. They're from Tennessee. And this young lady, she got a cashless bail. They immediately flew her back home. And she's going to be facing some charges, but that's what happened recently. That's one thing that happened recently. Now, I don't bring that up to shame this young lady. I bring it up to ask you, why didn't this young lady feel comfortable enough telling somebody, one, that she was pregnant? The second thing is, where was the salt at on her team? Why didn't somebody tell her, yeah, you live in this party lifestyle, you're likely to get pregnant, but if you do it, you need to be a big girl, you need to keep it. Where was the salt at? Nobody, she didn't feel comfortable enough going to anybody and saying, this is what I'm dealing with, because they were saltless. So later in verse 13, Jesus talks about salt losing its saltiness. Well, we're in the 21st century, and so now man has created sodium chloride, which allows salt to keep its saltiness. But in the first century, that wasn't a thing. Sodium chloride didn't exist. So salt could actually lose its flavor. What do you mean, Coach Jermaine? Like, how does that relate to us? Well, how that relates to us is that in the Old Testament, or not in the Old Testament, in the first century, if salt lost its saltiness, they would throw it out the window. And when they threw it out the window, it would land on the roads. And that's why verse 13 says they would trample over the salt because it lost its saltiness. So that relates to us because we're called to be salt carriers. Amen. The way that you would lose your salt is if you lose your influence. Salt is connected to influence. The people that you influence in your circle, your family, your friends, your teammates, your coworkers, those are your circles of influence. But you lose your saltiness when you start to conform to societal norms and values. When you say, hey, you know what? We about to go party. We about to turn up. And if you get pregnant, go ahead and do what you got to do, girl. That's losing your salt, right? Or you conforming, like, right? Chosen is a business. I run a business, right? So because I run a business, I can say, you know what? Money is more valuable than anything else. That would be me conforming to the world standards instead of understanding that God is the savior of the universe. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have this business. So I'm going to make sure I put him first. That's why the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added unto you. Somebody be reading their Bible back there. Somebody be reading their Bible back there. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. All right, we don't got that much time. We got to hurry up. Come on, here we go. We got 12 minutes. I got too many points. All right, here we go. So a city on a hill, verse 14, it says, right? And I'm going to go back here. I'm going to go back here so you can see it. So it says, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. What does this mean? So what this means is that if everybody in this room, if we all had homes and this was elevated and this was a hill, what would happen is that all of you guys or all of us we would have lamps in our house, oil lamps, right? Stay with me. We would have oil lamps in our house. And so what happened is, imagine that there's many different roads to get through these mountains. So if there's many different roads to get through the mountains, how are they going to know where to go if the light is not on? If there is no lamp, how are they going to know where to go? If everybody turned off their lamp at 9 o'clock, right, during first century, if everybody turned off their lamp, how would the travelers know which way to go? They would be what? They would be lost. So the crazy thing about this is that when Jesus is saying you are, those both you are statements are affirmations, but in the Greek, it's actually plural, the word you. So that means that when you put that seasoning on your steak, if there was only one grain of seasoning, the steak wouldn't have no flavor. If there was only one lamp, it wouldn't really make a difference to those travelers that's traveling on a hill. That means that everybody in this room, as a disciple of Jesus, we all have to be the salt and we all have to be the light. Does that make sense? Okay. So the next part I want to highlight is a lamp on a stand. I didn't really understand this until I read this scripture. So this lamp, imagine it was an oil lamp. It would be placed on a stand. This would be a stand, right? Why does a lamp need to be placed on a stand? A lamp needs to be placed on a stand in order for it to illuminate further. The purpose of light is not to be contained, but it's meant to spread. So that means that if Jesus Christ is inside of every single one of us, the Holy Spirit is inside of every single one of us, why are we containing the good news in our body and not sharing it and reaching out to the world? I'm going to say it one more time. If the Holy Spirit is inside me, you, him, her, and all of us in this room, why are we content keeping the gospel inside of us when people in the world are literally dying? Society is literally decaying. Families are literally decaying and dying because of darkness in the world. But God calls us to be the what? And to be the, y'all with me today? What I'm talking about. Okay, so this is an echo of the Old Testament. Point two, you are the light. This is an echo of the Old Testament because in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, Israel was tasked with being the light to other nations. That means other nations would come to them so that they can see what the standard is like. Amen? God is calling everybody in this room to be the standard for your friend group, the standard for your family, the standard for every circle that you're in. He's calling you to be the standard. Now, this is something that stood out to me. I'm going to go back here. Something that stood out to me was Jesus talks about it gives light. This is verse 15. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. Stand, I just showed you. And it gives light to everyone in the house. Why would Jesus say everyone in the house? This is where we go wrong sometimes as Christians. I'm going to just be honest with you. Where we go wrong sometimes as Christians is we think that our job is to influence people at our jobs, people in the nation, instead of realizing that it starts at home. If I'm not a good husband to my wife and a good father to my daughter, how can I then be a father-like figure to people at my job if I'm a teacher? If I don't have those maternal instincts as a mother and I'm not a good mother at home, how could I have those maternal instincts on my job? Jesus is calling us to understand our spheres of influence. Influence is connected to salt, right? We talked about that. So if we are not salting the people around us in our family, how could we then bring that salt out to the nations, to the world as Christians? And once again, that you is plural. So that means that I'm not just talking about myself. I'm talking to Karen. I'm talking to everybody in this room. We all have to realize we need to start and pour in at home first. And then as we do it at home, then it will grow into a community. And then after we do it in a community, then it will grow into the nation and then eventually in the world. Amen? All right, y'all with me this morning. That's what I'm talking about, man. All right, here we go. I dare you to tap your neighbor and say, you are the light. You are the light. All right. You guys know that without the sun, right? Without the sun, life would not exist. There would be no plants. There would be no food, right? And the same thing is true spiritually. Without the sun, S-O-N, life would not exist. I'm going to say it one more time because I feel like that was good. Without the sun, there would be no food. There would be no life. No life would exist. But without the sun, S-O-N, life would not exist. See, we think that partying, we think that whatever our vice is, sex, drinking, whatever it is, we think that those things are what makes life life. But it's actually the spirit inside of us that gives us life. Because those people that's doing all those things like the world, they eventually realize it's dead. There's no ending to it. Does that make sense? Okay. So I want to just give a demonstration real quick. Megan, can I get you to turn off the lights real quick, please? I'm going to do a demonstration real quick. So I realize that society likes to honor fake light. Amen. Can everybody say fake light? Society likes to honor fake light. So does anybody in here have an iPhone? All right. I want you to hold the button on your iPhone, and I want you to say the words Lumos. Lumos. Hold Siri. Tell Siri Lumos. Crazy, right? We say the word Lumos, and then what comes on? Now, you may be wondering, what does Lumos mean? Lumos is from Harry Potter. It's a spell in Harry Potter. But if I touch it, Siri, Jesus, the light of the world, it ain't no light. Lumos off. Jesus, the light of the world, the king above all kings. It's no light on. So that's crazy that society would honor fake light. Apple would honor fake light, but not honor the savior of the universe. Not honor the savior of the world. Isn't that crazy? Without the sun, life would not exist. Amen. Good. So I want to do that quick demonstration just to show you. All right, real quick, we got to get out of here. Come on, I got 4 minutes. You can turn it on. I got 4 minutes. You know Michaela looking at me with the side eye like, come on. You see her over there. All right, here we go. Michaela's my wife for my new people. It's my wife. She gave me the side eye like, come on, we got to go. You know, so I got 3 minutes. All right, here we go. So point three, my third point. There's a difference between good works and good deeds. Can you say good works versus good deeds? Okay, a good deed is around Christmas time, we have a toy drive. People have toy drives, amen? You probably saw it before, right? At this church, we have meals, right? We also have dress a girl at this church. So the difference between good works versus good deeds is that good deeds honor us. They honor man. I don't know if you guys have Facebook, but when I be on Facebook, I see videos of like celebrities and they be like giving homeless people money and recording it. And then you have people that give other people money and make their day, and it makes a difference. But why do you need a camera? If you're really doing it out of the goodness of your heart, why do you need other people to see? Why do you want them to see this homeless person crying because you cut his hair? That's good deeds. Now we have good works. What is the difference? Well, the Bible tells us that if you read verse 16, it says that good works honor and glorify God. So when we do good things at this church, we go lay hands on you. You're going to get this meal, but I understand that you're physically hungry, but I got some spiritual food that'll quench your thirst forever. His name is Jesus. He's the beginning and the end. He's the light of the world. You'll never have to go hungry again. Amen? So, and even that toy drive, this young, you know, toy drives meant for kids who don't have anything. Well, guess what? God loves you even when you didn't have anything, young man or young woman. That's the difference between us as Christians doing good deeds versus good works, is that when we do it, Jesus Christ will be honored and exemplified. Amen? Okay, another thing. Something that I've been hearing lately, actually, Austin can verify. Austin can verify. We're in a group message. I love Austin. I'm gonna just pick on him all the time. So actually, no, Darius can verify this too. In our men's Bible study group, right? On I asked them. I said, look, you know, I'm giving a message on Sunday. Asking, you know, the Lord to use me, right? Somebody responded and said, positive vibes and good energy your way. Positive vibes and good energy is not the same thing as prayer. See, the world wants to say positive vibes, but that's not God's spirit. The world wants to say good energy, but that's not the spirit of God. I dare you to tap your neighbor and say, I don't need positive vibes. I don't need positive spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 All right, I'm done. Look, see 11:30 on the dot. I'm done. So you may be feeling like you lost your light. That may be somebody in this room. Or you may not even knew before this message that you had light inside of you. That may be you, right? Or you may feel like, I just love these TV shows and they got so much drama. And deep down, you know it's decaying you on the inside. This is me. I'm not even talking to you. I'm talking to myself. These shows, man, Beauty and Black is so good, but it's so bad. So good, but it's so bad, right? It's demoralizing or desensitizing us, and we don't even know it. All of the shows we like, gun violence, this, that, right? It's hurting us, church, on the inside. And so that may be you in this room. You may feel like I'm losing my salt, right? I'm losing my salt, or I'm losing my light. I don't even know I have the light inside of me. What I want us all to do is we're all going to stand, and we're going to pray together. I want you to find somebody's hand around you, and we're going to pray as a big church. Mm-hmm. Yeah, spread him. And I'll just lay my hand over here. COVID don't exist no more. So, I mean, it do, but not really. Okay, all right, we're going to pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for every soul that's in this room, online, even those that couldn't make it. You said in your word that when two or more gather together, you'll dwell in the midst. So here you are with us right now, God. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you give us the boldness to be the salt, to be the salt in our families, to be the salt on our jobs, to be the salt in our schools, to be the salt on our sports teams. Lord, we just ask that you just show up in a miraculous way, that you give us the boldness and courage. We don't always know what to say, God, but we trust that you will speak through us because your Holy Spirit is the spirit of help. It's called a helpmate. It's going to help us and give us the right words to say. It's going to give us the right things to do. Your spirit might urge us to go and pray for a stranger. I pray, Lord, that we don't just think that that's just a random thought, but it's from you, God. Lord, help us realize that when we walk into a room, that room is dark. It's not until we walk inside of it that your light is released. I pray, Lord, that we don't cower down into ourselves, but we see us how you see us, God. We realize, God, that you called us to be the light. That means we're going to shine constantly, consistently, and we're going to illuminate in every circle that we're around. I pray, Lord, that we don't conform, God. We don't conform to the values of this world, the norms of this world, because we realize we have a king, and his name is Jesus. And his kingdom is different and is set apart from this world. Lord, we ask that you just continue to show up in a miraculous way in our lives. I thank you for the testimony today from my brother Gary, how he had a great week. He's starting to see, Lord, that in you, fruit will bear from his life. Things that may have lost in his life, he's realizing that inside of you, he's gaining that much more, God. I pray, Lord, that everybody in this room realizes that it's only in you that we gain more than we lost. That's why you said it's better for us to gain you than to lose our soul, God. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Love y'all. Love y'all. Love y'all.